Chapter 14. The Ravine.
That hurt. Didn't the Guardian say he was supposed to be protected from all harm? Whether he lose a limb or be brought to the brink of death, he was supposed to be repaired. He was the new king, and the sanctuary was supposed to maintain his body in its perfect form. Sitting on the throne wasn't all it was chalked up to be, apparently. Since he had been ordained, Godric's life had changed little. He was still being dragged around by Centurion Darius. He apparently was not immortal, as he should have been, and he was no closer to sitting on the throne in the capital. He guessed he couldn't just come out and tell Centurion Darius he was the rightful king and should be ordering him around. How would that go down anyway? The better question would be, how many press-ups would Centurion Darius give him? His musings were rudely interrupted by Centurion Darius, dressing down the two penitent legionnaires they had stumbled upon in the glittering forest of Glitten.
What are you two doing stumbling through this forest looking for a pack of wolves by yourself? Thought you'd help out some old lady in her haberdashery, forgetting you had standing orders from Legion Penitents. Immunis Fiffle, wipe that smirk off your face. I will reanimate this pack of wolves and make you fight them all over again.
Was Centurion Darius a necromancer, on top of being an excellent fighter?
One shuddered at the thought.
Godric opened his mouth to join in the dressing down, and received such a look from Centurion Darius, he was worried he'd set the back of wolves on him too. He was pleased they had found these two legionnaires. But still, it was only two. They had so many to find. There were possibly hundreds of them scattered across the continent. How long was it going to take them to round up all of the lost penitent's legionnaires? How many would be lost forever, never found after stumbling into a cursed bog? Alas, after the stern talking to by Centurion Darius, the team packed up and ready to move on, to find some more lost penitence legionnaires. Fiffle and Haddock, the two halfling legionnaires, joined their merry team as they trekked across the country, finding their lost companions. Their next stop, on the way to Stutmouth, was Butcher's Creek, the homeland of Billy Braven, where the story of Billy Braven and the Wild Boars was born. Godric secretly hoped that he could try some of the wild boar stew that the town was famous for. His stomach had grumbled non-stop since they left the capital. The food that Centurion Darius had packed was utilitarian and sufficient, but tasty it was not. The two-day trek to Butcher's Creek was uneventful. Unfortunately, Butcher's Creek itself was far too eventful. Godric was still obsessed with finding a bath, and he was sure that Butcher's Creek would have a bath. Somewhere, at least, that he could lay down in some warm water. Hell, he'd take some cold water, just something to rub the dirt from Glitten out from between his claws. Arriving in the town, it was a perfectly beautiful location. Their exports of meat and hides obviously did them well. This was the sort of place that not only had a bath, but had luxurious baths. As in Glitten, Centurion Darius insisted that they split up, to better cover the area. He headed straight to the local sheriff, whereas Godric and Thud were sent to the eastern side of town, and Fiffle and Haddock to the western. It appeared that Fiffle and Haddock were inseparable. Somehow, they had been teleported together to the same location, unlikely but still a lucky chance for them. They were an odd pair, and even odder friends. The 2 days they had spent hiking together had given Godric much time to better understand their personalities. Fiffle, there was no kind way of saying it, was an idiot. Almost every word that came out of his mouth was almost undecipherable or nonsensical. He seemed to spend most of his time annoying Haddock, who responded in kind with grumpy comments and snide undermarks. The two seemed to hate each other, but at the same time couldn't do without each other. It was a true love-hate relationship. It was as he and Thut were walking down one of the side streets of Butcher's Creek that Godric spotted it. A gleaming silver basin, just waiting there in someone's backyard. He couldn't help himself. He told Thud that he would search the area and ask questions, see if any of the locals had heard anything about lost legionnaires. Thud grunted and continued, and Godric was free for a precious moment to bathe in the glory of this upcoming bath. He made doubly sure to check that no one else was around, and then made his way towards his new salvation. Helpfully, right next to the gleaming basin, there was a lion where he could hang his clothes. How thoughtful of them! Best of all, there was a babbling stream at the bottom of the garden, and it wasn't long before he found a bucket, not even a hole in the bottom. This day was getting better and better. He quickly gathered water from the babbling stream and bucketed it into his new bath. He used a spell he had learned long ago from one of his books to magically heat the water, increasing the luxuriousness of this soon-to-be dip. He quickly undressed and hung his clothes on the low-hanging line. Then, gently and with an audible sigh, was about to step into the bath. In fact, his toe was just breaking the surface of the water when he heard a snort and a grunt. From a bush to his right, there was a rustle, and then out of it burst one of the wild boars of Butcher's Creek. Spooked by something, probably Godric's presence in this very garden, it rushed across the grass and tore through the line holding Godric's clothes. Its tusks caught on the line, which pulled taut, Godric's clothes being dragged through the mud as the boar tore off into the street. As the boar exited the garden, the line caught around Godric's ankle, pulling him off his feet and slamming him face first into the mud next to his would-be bath. It was at this moment that the thought crossed his mind. His soon-to-be bath may not have been a bath at all, but a trough to feed the nearby boar. No sooner had this thought entered his mind than the trough was also knocked over, and the hot water spilled on top of him, generating an even dirtier slush of mud and leodin on the floor. Scrambling to gain his feet and caking more mud into his mane, Godric raced after the boar. He streaked, quite literally, through the narrow streets, catching sight of the tail of the boar as it turned a corner, heading towards the town square. Racing to catch up with it, Godric sped around corners and sprinted down straights. Just as the boar was about to enter the town square, he dove on top of it and wrestled it to the floor, pinning it with his legs and arms and snatching his clothesline from its tusks. He lay there, curled in a ball, holding the boar tight, praying that nobody had seen what had just happened.
Oh, the youth today. No shame, I tell you.
Godric kept his eyes shut, but as he listened, he could hear the murmuring of a crowd. Oh dear. It seemed the boar had made it into the square, and his final dive had been perceived by an audience. Keeping his eyes tightly closed, he pretended as if nothing had happened. If he waited here long enough, perhaps they would disperse, and he could forget this embarrassment. Alas, this was not on the cards.
What do you think you're doing? You know that streaking in the streets is an arrestable offence. I have a right mind to lock you up right now. Well, although...
As the voice got closer, it changed tone.
Although, I kinda want to lock you up for myself, though. Ooh!
Godric couldn't help but blush. He was still wrestling the wild boar, holding it tight to his chest with his face down in the mud. He'd never heard a woman speak so forwardly to him. He was sure he could work his way through this. He had read Tales of the Milkmaid, after all, and knew how to handle the opposite sex. Rising to his feet, clasping the boar, and gingerly trying to hide his legion armour behind him, Godric looked at the woman who had accosted him. He considered the many lines he had prepared for such a situation. Pick-up lines, flirtatious poems, sonnets he had memorised. Positioning the boar so that no one could see the indecent parts, Godric looked at the woman. She was young, in her mid-twenties, powerfully built and with a serious, yet slightly playful look on her face. Godric wasn't sure whether to be excited or scared. Probably a healthy dose of both.
Well then, my young Leodin, are you going to explain yourself? Why are you naked, standing in the middle of town, holding a wild boar over your crotch?
Do you think we could get out of this square first? I think everyone's staring.
All right, then. Follow me. I'll take you somewhere more private.
They were about to exit the busy plaza when Godric was accosted once again, this time with what felt like a flying kick into the small of his back. Whoever hit him knew what they were doing. That hurt a lot. He managed to remain standing, but almost lost his grip on the boar, revealing his... sensitive parts.
Leave her alone, you pervert! I'll call you back, sis!
Godric's head was swimming from the kick he had just received. He whirled around, preparing to defend himself from his latest attacker, quickly realising both of his hands were taken up holding the boar over his crotch. It appeared they had reached a stalemate. The two girls staring at Godric, Godric staring back, neither quite knowing what to do. It was in this moment of tension that Godric's favourite person in the whole world turned up to spoil the show, or perhaps save the day. It depended from what point of view you were looking from.
Legionnaire, what are you doing to that boar?
You're a legionnaire. Ugh!
Godric spluttered in outrage.
I was just trying to stop this wild boar from rampaging through the streets.
He attempted to save the situation.
He was so close to hitting it off with this one girl here.
It was then that he noticed the crest upon her armour. She was also from Legion Penitence. It seemed that Godric was almost arrested by one of his fellow colleagues. In the nude, too. In a rare moment that Godric felt he would remember, if not for the embarrassing situation that caused it, Centurion Darius actually smiled. More of a smirk, really, but he was obviously enjoying the situation Godric had found himself in.
Well, it appears, Legionnaire, that you have found our lost comrades. Well done. Well, I think we've achieved everything we needed here. Let's pack up and move on to the next town. No point in hanging around. You've done enough.
It was with the utmost embarrassment that Godric let the boar loose to run off back into the bushes and slide on his legionnaire uniform and armour. He wished the ground would open up and swallow him whole. Godric got dressed, and the four of them speedily made their way to the town exit. It was there they met Fiffle and Haddock. Both had been on a jolly adventure, but had not found any other legionnaires. It appeared that Mirim and Ferrin were the only ones here in Butcher's Creek. They were about to set forth and start their march toward Tornhold when they realized they were missing someone. No one had seen Thud since Godric had left him to find his, bath. They waited for a while at the town gates, hoping that Thud had simply been held up somewhere and would meet them soon. When he didn't arrive, they started searching as a group, refusing to be broken up again and risk losing someone else. Having spent half the day looking around the town, Darius eventually agreed they should split up to better cover the town and the various side alleys, and even some of the farms and areas outside the town walls. Godric was tasked with these areas outside the walls. It seemed Centurion Darius wasn't scared for his safety at all, and was willing to put him out there with the herds of wild boar. Reluctantly, Godric accepted his assignment and made his way out of the gates and began his walk around the town. It was another blistering hot day, and Godric really didn't like the idea of traipsing around this town for the rest of the afternoon. It was as the sun was highest in the sky that he came across a cool river, probably the river that had babbled at the bottom of the garden he had failed to bathe in. He followed this stream for a short time, hoping that it may take him to Thud's location. Perhaps he too had stumbled upon the cool water and was wetting his feet just a few yards upstream. Falling into a ravine is relatively easy. It only requires a few steps. One must be walking. They must also be distracted, not looking at where their feet were going. They must be so oblivious to the geological history of the area that they didn't know that a recent earthquake had ruptured the land close to the town, creating a ravine. All in all, several things would have to come together, but given the right circumstances, falling into a ravine was not a challenging act. All that is to say is that Godric fell into a ravine. It was a cawing raven that had distracted him at the last minute, and he didn't see his foot plunge into the hole that was the ravine outside of Butcher's Creek. He tumbled and he fell, splashing into the river at the bottom of the ravine. Unfortunately, there was a particularly strong undercurrent, which, after surfacing to take a gasping breath, pulled him back under and dragged him along the bottom of the ravine, bashing his head and his knees on several of the rocks as he went. He fought his way to the surface once more, taking a rasping breath before he suddenly dropped. The ravine opened further and he fell off the top of a waterfall. He fell, not even having the air in his lungs to scream. Thankfully, a tree halfway down cushioned his fall, if breaking several ribs counted as cushioned. Godric hung there in the branches, trying to hold himself together, not to give up the will of living. He had taken so many hits that day, to his pride and his body. He wasn't sure he could deal with the prospect of pulling himself together and climbing down from this tree, halfway down a waterfall, a third of the way down a giant ravine. Where had this ravine even come from? Nothing in the books he'd read about Butcher's Creek told him of a ravine just outside the city gates. Godric hung there, trying to regain his breath, to calm his breathing, and work out how to get himself out of this precarious position. It was as his breathing slowed and the sounds of nature came back that he heard something altogether not natural. A whirring and a wheezing, Then, voices.
I don't know how you plan on getting out of here, Fulcrum, but you can't make me move. I will happily die here. I am no longer the king, and from what I can tell, neither are you. We're just two ordinary men now, down here. I have nothing that you want. What are you going to do about it?
Godric strained his ears, trying to hear every word. This couldn't be. He focused his eyes, trying to seek out the source of the voices. Eventually, he spotted them, a distance off, in the valley that opened up beneath him. Looking around himself, he could see that he had fallen off a waterfall. The ravine had opened up in a cliff face, the water spewing down into a valley below. Down beneath him, two men stood, or was it one man knelt with a beast standing over him? Against all odds, it appeared that Godric had found King Asandrides. Not only had he found the king, but also Fulcrum. From what he could see, Fulcrum had overpowered the king and had him knelt on the ground, his hands tied behind him, the beast standing over the old king like a conqueror. It was a horrible sight to see, the weak and scarred, wheezing beast looking down at the king of the ascendancy like he had him beat.
Asandrides, you were supposed to give me the throne. Yet, here I stand, not king. And yet, neither are you. If you are no longer king, and I am not yet king, who is? We have been over this 100 times. I said the words. We were both touching the lectern. If you want to be king so badly, find the book and use the ritual of the first sovereign to claim it. I won't help you. But if you want to be king, go ahead. You know the power that book holds. With the sanctuary and the help of the guardian, you can build an entire empire. Do with it what you will. My days of leading a country are over. I have no interest in politics or building anymore.
Fulcrum stood there for a moment, staring down at the old king.
Then I have no use for you anymore.
In a flash, Fulcrum's arm snapped out and smashed the old king to the ground. Without another word, the giant beast stepped upon his chest, making an audible crunch. But Fulcrum just kept on walking, as if nothing had happened, as if he was nothing more than an old, rotten log.